Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Vanessa Walker, and I am the managing editor of Money. Now, one of the big stories in our February issue is aimed at first-time homebuyers. They've been particularly active in the market since the introduction in October last year of the new 5% deposit rule and the pushing up of the price caps for eligible houses. Because the home buying journey is so unknown until it's literally on your doorstep, we asked journalist Ryan Johnson to write a twofold story. First, what is the basic timeline and what are the steps involved in buying a home from the research phase right through to moving in? Second, what specialist professionals you need to engage with and who do you meet along the way and what do they actually do? We want to present this journey to you in a nutshell. Of course, this timeline can be far more drawn out, but for the purposes of describing the journey with you, we've condensed it into a year. Ryan is with me now to talk us through. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, Vanessa. Great to be back again.
All right, let's begin with the realization a person may have that they may be in a position to now buy a home, the great Australian dream. As mentioned, let's say it's 12 months out from purchase. Where should a prospective buyer start? What should they be doing? What knowledge should they try to attain?
Yeah, so I guess the process always begins with a cheeky scroll. Like, I don't know how many nights my partner and I spent doom scrolling through realestate.com. But let me tell you, that's where we found our house when we bought it, and that's our home now. So whilst realestate.com is the main one, there's also Domain, All Homes, Homely, property.com, and these can really help broaden your options when you're searching for your first property. So these sites offer suburb guides, price trends, and calculators that can help balance your affordability with your lifestyle. And what you're looking to do is find out what's important to you, essentially. So inside the house, you're looking at things like how many bedrooms and bathrooms, whether it has an ensuite, whether it has solar panels, heating and cooling, does it have good aircon, does it have an ensuite, a pool, all of that type of thing that's important to you and not important to you. And on the outside of the house is just as important. So access to transport, school zones, shops, doctors, are you near a highway or a quiet cul-de-sac, all of that type of thing. So if you're anything like me, you'll build spreadsheets upon spreadsheets of all of this information. And basically, all helps you compare what's important to you.
All right. So a lot of scrolling there. Now, let's go to 9 months out. People, as you say, may have narrowed down the kind of home they're looking for or have some suburbs in mind. What's likely to happen now? And what kind of professionals would they be meeting at this stage?
Yeah. So this is where things really start to shift for first home buyers. And the big thing that happens around here is they start talking to all different types of professionals. And one of the main ones is mortgage brokers who help you understand what you can safely borrow. And they review things like your deposit size, spending, and borrowing capacity, and flag any inconsistencies with your any financial issues early on. So any income inconsistencies, debt, spending habits, all of that type of thing. But they also walk you through government incentives, like you were saying, the first home guarantee and the expanded ones that's just come in. They will help you walk through and see what you qualify for. Basically, they just help you create a plan to become purchase ready. And it's also important to note that the other professional that you might encounter around this time is financial advisors. And it's important to note that they are two separate jobs. They contain two different roles within your financial journey. Financial advisors look at your whole financial picture and not just the loan. They basically ensure your mortgage aligns with your lifestyle, your financial goals, your insurance needs, your future plans, and help prevent you from overcommitting just because you can get a loan that's larger. So they work hand in hand together, but basically an advisor sets your financial boundaries, whereas a broker finds loans that fit within those boundaries. Also, why would you go to a broker and not just direct to a bank like in the old days? Like your parents or your grandparents might be saying, just go straight to Commonwealth Bank. That's what we did. Well, the short answer is your bank won't tell you the other bank down the road has a better rate while a broker will. That's the main thing. So a bank works for one bank. They can only offer their home loans and policies, and they have a limited range of products. Whereas a mortgage broker works for you. They compare loans across many lenders and are legally required to act in your best interest, not the bankers and their shareholders.
Yes, I must say, personally, when I used my broker, the amount of disclosure he gave me was phenomenal. Like who his clients were, how broadly he'd gone in the market, everything was a lot of paperwork to do with disclosure.
Exactly right. And also, like, not all banks participate in things like the first home guarantee. So if you go to certain banks and they recommend their product, they just want you as a customer. They're not out for your best interest to get you that first home guarantee. And you could be missing out on thousands, tens of thousands of benefits.
All right. So broker is of primary importance. Good to know. Now, according to your story, about 3 months out, people should be seriously testing their borrowing power. Your story focuses on mortgage pre-approval. What is that and what does it involve?
So essentially, a pre-approval is a lender's early indication of how much they're willing to lend you. Now, it's not a guarantee at this stage yet, but it gives you a clear spending limit and shows agents that you're serious. So what buyers need to provide at this stage is your recent payslips, your bank statements, or your identification, a detailed breakdown of your spending habits, all the fun stuff. This is where it gets serious and quite boring. But your broker pulls this all together so it meets the lender's requirements. Now, most pre-approvals last around 90 days, but buyers should avoid any financial changes that could alter their borrowing capacity during this time. Like this is things like opening a new credit card or buy now, pay later account, taking out a personal loan, making a big one-off purchase for something. Like you don't want to go out and buy a boat, or you don't want to be even paying off debt without getting financial advice from your advisor first. Also things like switching your jobs or changing industries, moving from full-time to casual or becoming self-employed. All of those types of things are red flags in the lender's eyes. So you need to be certain that you're just presenting them with green flags.
All right. So you get pre-approval, then you basically stay in the holding pattern until you make an offer.
Yeah, with pre-approval sorted, open homes become your weekend routine. That's all you'll be doing at this stage. So you'll meet many real estate agents, these skilled negotiators. They work for the seller and not for you, but they can still offer you helpful local insight, let's say. But it's also the right time to shortlist conveyancers or settlement agents if you're over west, who review contracts and manage settlements. So your broker or advisor will usually have a list that they would recommend.
All right. Now, if you think you find the right home, one that ticks all the boxes, and you decide to make an offer on that place, what unfolds then?
Yeah, so once you find the property, things usually move very quickly. First step is to loop in your conveyancer. They review the contract of sales for any issues, such as easements, odd clauses, or unapproved structures. And they basically are just there to flag anything risky or unusual before you commit. And honestly, like I can't recommend this enough. My own experience, I enjoy weirdly going through contracts and reading financial documents, but the 400 pages that I received, I couldn't make any sense of it at all. But it turns out had all these strange clauses that would have disadvantaged us if we moved ahead. And we didn't move ahead thanks to our conveyancer. So shout out to Simon. But yeah, from that, you basically make the offer. So you submit your offer to the selling agent. They basically come back with your position compared to all the other offers on the table. So competition becomes clear pretty quickly. You might find out there's 10 other offers and you're sitting at ninth place, meaning you'll have to either reassess, put in a higher offer, or just simply walk away and think that it's just too expensive for you. Or you might be in first place. And with no higher offers in play, that's good signs.
Okay, interesting. Now, the next stage, so about a fortnight out. So say your offer is accepted, about a fortnight out, there's something called preparing for settlement. Now, what is settlement? Why is it important? And what happens for the buyer at that stage?
Yeah, so basically once both parties sign the contract, you and the seller, the cooling off period begins, and that's usually around 5 business days. And you can withdraw during this time, but you may lose your deposit. So this is where you should also look at things like building and pest inspections, step many home buyers underestimate. These inspections can reveal hidden water damage, structural issues, or electrical hazards. If major issues arise, your conveyancer can renegotiate the terms of the agreement. You could maybe negotiate repairs or price adjustments in your favor. Also, it's important to do an inspection yourself. This is called a pre-settlement inspection. usually 24 to 48 hours before you go to settlement, just to confirm that the home is what you agreed to. So that's things like checking appliances, ensuring the repairs have been done, and making sure all the keys and remotes and fixtures are still in place. At this stage, you'll also need to cover any additional fees, and these are including things like council and water rates that might be linked to the property.
All right, settlement day. Tell us about it. What happens?
Yeah, so settlement day is the handover. Like, your lender transfers the funds, the property title is registered in your name, and the home legally becomes yours. Your conveyancer manages the entire process, so there's not much for you to worry about, but just listen to their instructions. And once complete, the agent hands over the keys. I mean, for the conveyancer, the lender, and agent, it's just routine paperwork for them. But for you, it's one of the biggest emotional and financial milestones in your life. It's scary as hell, and it's okay to be overwhelmed. I certainly was. It was terrifying that day, but we got through it. And just remember, your move-in day is right around the corner, and this property is about to become your home. And you can put all the nails in the walls and congratulate yourselves and celebrate.
That's awesome. Ryan, thanks so much. That's made it all far clearer for me.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.